Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Okay, we'll start.
Okay.
Hey, we're ready.
Welcome. I'm Sarah Bender Sensei. I'm the Buddhist program leader here at the Air Force Academy and the resident teacher for Springs Mountain Sangha. And I am really delighted to be able to welcome you on behalf of the Buddhist program at the Air Force Academy. And thanks to Colorado College and Bodhi Mind Center and Springs Mountain Sangha, with really deep appreciation for Bill Porter, who has come from Port Townsend, Washington, to meet with us tonight. So, Bill is recognized as an authority on Chinese religious culture, not only here in the West, but actually, I understand, in China as well. So, what I read said that at least one of your books was in the process of being translated into Chinese for use in that language.
Seven of them.
Seven have been translated into Chinese.
In fact, my Heart Sutra came out translated back into Chinese this last year. and just as an aside, normally I sell about 1,000 to 2,000 copies per year
in English,
and since last April I've sold 30,000 copies in China.
Yeah.
Of it translated back into Chinese.
Yeah. Which is actually really a moving thing to me. That your work can then, this is how we requite the answer.
It's really a weird feeling, I tell you. It's very weird. But they had their spiritual roots and sources were cut off for so long that even when Chinese people are writing Chinese to the Chinese today, they don't speak with much confidence. Because they haven't practiced a lot, or they don't know how to speak it. And,
the classical Chinese.
Yeah, and also the Chinese don't speak the way we do, with the same kind of clarity, because we're used to being bold and getting to the point, whereas they have to worry about what people will think about the way it has to be couched in the right way.
Yeah.
So sometimes they appreciate an outsider's view.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt
Thank you for interrupting. That makes sense to me, actually, because my daughter had to judge speaking contests when she was teaching English in China, and people were so harsh, she said. They judged each other so harshly. Mm-hmm. So that kind of...
Yeah, when you're an outsider, it's the best of... I mean, you're an outsider. So yeah. They don't worry about you.
They didn't judge her.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They judge each other's English very, very
harshly. That's right. Chinese will, if you're a Chinese person writing a book on Buddhism, the Chinese will judge that more harshly.
Huh.
They'll be more critical of it.
Yeah, interesting. So, and do you want to sort of tell how you got going on all this, or do you want me to do a present quick run through? It might be better for you to tell it.
What do you mean?
Like that you grew up in L.A. and Kirtland and went into the Army, that all that stuff?
Oh, okay. All right. Just a 5-minute?
Yeah. Okay. Just let people know sort of how you got into here. And then, I think that'll be more fun for you to do than for me. But I want to quote you on something.
Okay.
Because it was so interesting to me. You said somewhere... And I'm sure people are always telling me you said things, and you're like, really?
It's true.
but you did say somewhere that when you were in college at UC Santa Barbara, you read Alan Watts'
Way of Zen.
Yeah, and Kanze. And
yes.
You said you finally felt that you had found something that made sense to you about what was going on in this life.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that in because I've heard so many people who are in this room say a similar thing about that experience of meeting something that actually made sense.
Yeah, and that was the year I started smoking dope, too.
Ah, yes! Which also made sense. Okay. So, So the list of Bill's publications is long and wonderful. And I would really encourage you to explore, if you haven't had a chance to read, both his translations and the books that he's authored. In Springs Mountain Sangha, we have over the past few years, maybe 10 years, been working from and with your translations. And the only other thing I wanted to quote with a thank you to you is from a footnote in the Lankavatara Sutra to tell you how much we were heartened when we read the footnote that said, "This paragraph makes my head hurt."
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I'll sit down and let you talk.
Okay, thank you. And thank you all for coming here. And I'm greatly appreciative of the Air Force Academy and the Sangha to make this possible. I'm going to speak without a mic, so if you can't hear it, let me know. And of course, there are some seats up forward. But yeah, after I read those two books, that was in 1967. I was graduating from Santa Barbara with a degree in anthropology, and I really wanted to go to graduate school because I didn't want to get a job, you know, stay in school. And so at that time, the best anthropology department in America was Columbia. So I wanted to study with Margaret Mead and Ruth Benedict, some other anthropologists too, and so I applied. And they had a fellowship that, because I was getting the Army GI Bill then in 70, which was $100 a month, but it wasn't enough. So I applied for this fellowship that required you to study a rare language, and you had to write in which language. And I just read these books, and so I went. I just wrote the word Chinese, and they gave me a four-year fellowship to study Chinese and anthropology at Columbia. And that's how I started. I went to Columbia, and they started. And that summer, somebody turned me onto some dope, and so that was a really interesting experience too. Opened up my eyes to some things. But anyway, I went to Columbia. The anthropology department was okay, and I started studying Chinese, and then I met a monk, a Chinese monk in Chinatown who taught me how to meditate. And I really liked the experiential part of Buddhism. That's what attracted me to Alan Watts' book or Kanzi's book, was the actual practice. So I was meditating on weekends, and after 2 years, I finally decided I didn't want to get a PhD because I would just be turning out other people who were getting PhDs. I had this idea that I was studying anthropology because I figured by studying all these different ways human beings live their lives, which was anthropology, I could find out the right way for me to live my life. That was my idea. And once I ran into the Dharma, I said, well, I don't need a PhD now. I know what I have to do. So I quit Columbia and went to live in this monastery in Taiwan. They didn't really know what to do with me. I mean, I had been studying Chinese, so I couldn't go to Japan. It didn't make sense. And it was the middle of the Cultural Revolution in China. So this was 1972. So I went to Taiwan, and I found a monastery that put me up. And I spent about 3.5 years in these two different monasteries. And when you're in a monastery, you have a lot of time on your hands. The Chinese idea of monastic life is very different from the Japanese, where I understand from talking to people who've been through their tradition, it's very regimented. And it's like being in the Marines being a trainee, whereas the Chinese are very like whatever, and so I like that whatever, and so I had all this time on my hands, and so I wanted to improve my Chinese, so I started taking these Buddhist sutras that had English translations, and finding the Chinese copy and the English copy, and learning Chinese Buddhist texts that way. And then the abbot of this temple I was living in, the one I stayed in for about 2.5 years, published the poems of Cold Mountain in Chinese. And he pirated Burton Watson's English translations and stuck them at the back. And so I could see how poetry was working too. The Chinese poems of Cold Mountain and then some English translations. And I used this as a way for me to improve my Chinese by trying to translate. And it is a great way to try to improve your a foreign language skill, is try to translate that language. And after a couple of years of just freeloading at this monastery, the abbot said, I think it's maybe time you thought about becoming a monk. And I told him I probably wouldn't become a good monk. So I left, and then I moved to this farmhouse in Taiwan, where I ended up staying for another 14 years. And every day I would translate some of Cold Mountain's poems. As a continuing exercise, I began the monastery, and eventually I found a publisher. And there, you know, I'll read a few tonight. So that's how I got interested in Buddhism, I guess you could say, and how I ended up in Taiwan and ended up doing these book things. And after I'd done Cold Mountain, I translated the poems of another hermit monk called Stonehouse. But I got married, so I needed some money. So I got a job at a radio station in Taiwan, and where I interviewed people. It was an English language radio station. So I interviewed people in English who could speak English. One of the guys I was interviewing was the son of the richest man in Taiwan. He was the CEO of the world's largest plastics company, Formosa Plastics. And I was interviewing him, and I said, this is probably my last interview, because I've applied to the Guggenheim Foundation to go look for hermits in China, because I've translated this hermit poetry, and I want to know if people are still living like that in China. And he said, well, if they don't give you the money, I will. And they didn't, and he did. Really an amazing guy. He had two PhDs and an MA from the London School of Royal Academy of Science. And I asked him if he ever, when after we were wrapping up the interview, I asked him if he'd ever seen the movie The Graduate. And he said, yeah. I said, so what would you tell a graduate? And he really surprised me. He said, I would tell them to follow the Tao. And we became really good friends, and that's probably why he gave me this money, to go find hermits in China, and that's what I did. And then I wrote a book about it called Road to Heaven, where I ended up interviewing a bunch of hermits. And that book, in the last, say, it's been out 5 years now in China, it sold over 200,000 copies.
In China?
In China, yeah. In Chinese.
Yeah.
It's putting my daughter through fashion design school. So anyway, that's my background. That's the 5 minute
Thank you.
Maybe story.